So, let's go. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And we will go through our notes. I need somebody to turn there and start reading. I think I got this broken out by verse, though. And I'll try to highlight some things as we go. And let me see if I can make it a little bit bigger for you. That's too big. That might work. Who's got verse 1? Please read aloud.
Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi-Hahiroth.
That's why I had you read.
Between Midgar and the sea. They are camped by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them.
Okay. You read too far.
Oh, put it up.
You read, but that's good. We'll go there. I need somebody to turn to Numbers chapter 33, verse 1 through 8. Numbers 33, verse 1 through 8. I want you to see how God is positioning them.
Good.
All right, go ahead.
These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron.
So they're going through the journeys. This is how they left Egypt. Okay, go ahead.
Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journey at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points.
Yes, I love it. I like your version. Yes.
They departed from Ramses in the first month.
So they left Ramses, which is in Egypt. First month, okay.
On the 15th day of the month.
Ooh, that's unleavened bread. So the day that Christ is buried is the day that they leave Egypt. Mm-hmm. We saw that. Continue, please.
On the day after the Passover, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians.
Yes.
For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also, on their gods, the Lord had executed judgment.
Yep.
Then the children of Israel moved from Ramses and camped at Succoth.
Boom! Camp! One camp. Succoth. Go.
They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham.
Boom! 2 days. Etham.
Which is on the edge.
Got it.
They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth.
Yes.
Which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped near Midgar.
Boom! Three camps, 3 days.
They departed from before Hiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey.
Don't worry about it. You've gone far enough. That's good. So Numbers accounts the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to the Red Sea. Three camps, 3 days. Passover is the 14th. Three plus 14 is 17. 17th day of the month. At this particular time, Christ will rise from the dead. The whole crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is strategically linked to how Israel leaves sin and bondage in Egypt and gets over to the other side. If you want more collaborative scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells you exactly the journeys and how they cross. I just think it's just profound. They cross the Red Sea when Christ rises from the grave. That's when they were baptized. All right, so here we go. Let's take a look at some notes. So in verse 1, God is telling Moses the plan. The plan for the future. The plan for how he's going to bring them out. He's giving them the battle plan. Does God give us the battle plan today? Yes, he does. Does he tell us the nature of the enemy and how the enemy will come at us? Yes, he does. This is almost like a scouting report. An end time prophecy is also linked to this, because end time prophecy plays out just like what's going to play out here in the wilderness. The world and Pharaoh is going to come after the children of Israel. It's going to look like there is no hope, and he is defeated. This thing just is defeated. So they're rehearsing. We're just practicing this over and over and over again. Application for today. God will do the same thing in our lives over and over and over again. If you're going through something, there's a purpose behind it. It may not make sense, but when you know the end of the story, you can rejoice. Here we go. All right. Verse 2. They are only camping. He tells them to go, and instead of take the easy route, I want you to make a U-turn and camp right in front of a barrier. And it's going to look very scary strategically. It looks crazy. They could have went another way and avoided all this. But he has them camp there. And one of the things we see is the enemy observes where they are. Don't you know the devil looks to see where you are too? In fact, I got a relative runs into the same wall each and every time. God starts to do something great in his life, starts to have some kind of a little bit of a breakthrough, and I'm like, man, hold on, because the devil is going to come against you. And it's almost like he looks and goes, okay, he's getting too close to the Lord, too close to a breakthrough. What can we, oh, just make him mad. He got a temper about it. Just make him mad. Just do this, whatever, you know. Boom. And there he goes. And I'm like, man, you just keep getting played by the devil. You just keep, he's like, you're like a puppet in the devil. And he just keeps you in bondage because you don't understand the scriptures and how God works.
Sure.
Sir, ma'am.
I have someone that I tell them the same thing.
I've been talking to Al for years. All right.
What do you do about it, sir? How do you get through to a person?
I give them a word.
I do.
Ah. And they gotta ask some questions. Because, go ahead.
You better remember, it's not our schedule, it's God's schedule.
And eventually the devil will overplay his hand.
Yeah, and one of the things that I learned from many long days in Von Forrest and the evangelism, I don't know if we do evangelism like we used to do back
no.
then, but it was like 14 touches. Yeah. Then we did evangelism towards that. It might take 14 touches before somebody comes to the Lord.
Right.
And you don't know whether you're touch 1 or touch 14. And then you can have a hard hit, it might take 16. So, you know. But what I'm learning through this is questions. And you're going to see it in this chapter. The power of asking a question, to be able to go through the first four steps. Which is important. Because you don't want to use your logic behind this, alright? Because we really can't convince anybody anything. So we want to use those first four steps, make sure we're led by the Spirit, and that will show us the question that we're supposed to ask that will get them to understand the need. Ask the question.
Do you have a
microphone?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I better. Do I? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I do. Yeah. All right. The neat thing about camping is there's an expiration date. He never told them that they were going to stay in this position. Never told. Just camp. All right, so I got some questions here. Why does God do this? Why does he have them in a position that looks like it's a trap?
He's going to display his glory.
Absolutely. There's a higher purpose. Oh, I just said something. Whatever you're going through, there's a higher purpose that's bigger than you.
Are we on chapter 3 now? No, verse 3.
Oh, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Some more notes. I don't know what 2 Corinthians 4:8 says. I just have it in there. Don't worry about it. God demonstrates his power and receives glory through these obstacles, as Susan said. That increases our faith and practices and points to end time prophecy. Just a rehearsal. Pharaoh's plan is to take you out. That's a trap. God's plan is to take him out. We go through some things so that God can get the victory and defeat the enemy so that others will see him and he gets glory. That is the formula. This is not just about the children of Israel. This is how God deals with us. Because we are like Christ and we are brought out of Egypt. I have brought my son out of Egypt. We are his children. He's bringing us out of sin, bondage, and the world. Same process. Same steps. Same purpose. Same plan.
Delivers us comes to mind.
Yes.
He delivers them, which means he physically does it.
When we're spiritually in alignment.
Yeah.
Understand what he just said? When we are spiritually in alignment, he will physically deliver us. But he starts from the inside. I got so many Bible studies, I can't remember. I did the water and wine, right? Okay, good. I like this. It also shows the nature of the enemy in the world. They don't want you to come all the way out. Do you understand what I just said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He didn't chase after them when they left Egypt. In fact, they were happy to see him go. They were pushing him out the door.
Ooh, he went after him after they got so far away.
Don't want you to go too far.
Yeah.
Because they were still... I don't know if we got that. Yeah, we'll get into verse 3. Let's just do verse 3. The enemy is scouting for it. And the reason why I thought it was a scouting report, because I used to run track. I don't know if you got a scouting report in wrestling or not or whatever. But maybe you do. So I used to read the newspaper. I probably told this story before. But I was getting really good at track my senior year. I was a hurdler. And I was running college hurdles. And I knew we were going to come up against this team. I didn't know how good they were. So I would read the newspaper and check the weather and see, you know, the times that the hurdlers were running. Mm-hmm. And I saw that this school that we were going to face, I saw the times that the hurdlers run. And I'm like, I know how this is going to end. Because they were running times much slower than me. Mm-hmm. And it was on their field. So I get there, and I know how the story ends. So I'm getting there, I'm quiet, I'm not saying a word, I'm just doing my thing or whatever, not talking to anybody. There's a bunch of little girls, bunch of little girls are jeering me, you know, and you come from another team, you know, they had a lot of fans there or whatever, you know. And I just kind of looked at them and smiled, wouldn't pay no attention or whatever. Look at that one over there. Yeah, you're getting ready to get beat today. I'm like, okay. All right. Normally you get the lane in the middle. So you can see the competition on both sides. I got the lane all the way closest to the stands, where the fans were. I knew what I was doing, so they could see my glory. Anyway. I got in the blocks, you know the story. I blew the doors off, right? Picked up a girlfriend at the end of the meet, too. One of the ones that was heckling.
All right.
But I had the scouting report. I always remember, for some reason, that has stuck. That was one of my best meets. For some reason, that meet and what I did stuck in my mind. Because I had no fear. I had no doubt. I knew how the story ended. And when I first started reading these scriptures, I'm like, oh my God, it's my track meet. I was able to personalize this. I know how this thing ends. And when we know the plan and the strategy, we know what the enemy does. Mm-hmm. and we know our God and what we're capable of doing with God, it should be like that track meet. We should have no worries whatsoever. Woo! I'll be whistling as we go. Because there's some scary situations, and you got the crowd jeering against you or whatever, but you got to be able to go with confidence and boldness when you know the end of the story. And that's what this is. And that's what the resurrection should be for us. So when I'm looking at Exodus 12 and understanding what Jesus does for us, now I have a greater understanding of how I should be dealing with some of my adversity, because we are in the story in Exodus. Jesus fulfills it, but sometimes we miss the fact that what Jesus just did is what the children of Israel experienced before he did it. Yes, sir.
Be prepared. You were prepared.
Well, I was prepared.
That's what I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah. Oh, it wasn't that I stopped being prepared. Oh, I was prepared, and I was ready. But I had the confidence of knowing, I know how this ends. Ooh! I fear death. To a degree. I ain't trying to die. But I know how it ends.
Well, that's what I mean. You're prepared.
That's why we do what we do. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
All right. The devil wants us distracted by looking at all the stuff around us instead of keeping our focus on the Lord. Just like Peter and the boat. On Jesus.
Yep. Take your eyes off the plan. He should have walked all the way over to the other side. Him and Jesus just skipping all across the water over to the other side. Yes. Why? So when we, I don't think we're gonna go through this chapter today. When we get through this, we're gonna see that's twofold. It's twofold.
Some of them are placed there by the enemy, and some of them God puts there.
And God puts them there. It's a twofold reason as you get through this. Not only is it a trap for the enemy, but it's for our benefit.
Amen.
Yeah.
And glorify God.
Because, yes. All right. I don't know how far we're going to get. That's all right. So let's just see. Now we're at verse 3. Okay. I don't know what verse 3 says. What do we got? What we got for verse 3?
I got it.
Okay.
For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, the wilderness has shut them in.
Yes. So, King James says they were entangled in the land, which is where I got the title from my second book, because I thought it was so powerful. Yeah. Now, they're free. But they're still within the confines of the territory of Egypt. He does not have a problem with them leaving Egypt. Just don't go too far. And what I realized was, most of the major mistakes that I made in my life, some of my biggest sins, were not before I got saved. It was after I got saved. Because I thought by going to church, going to Bible study, going to church with my folks, praising God as a young man, I was free, but I'm still entangled in the things of the earth, and I never sought to go any further beyond that. Because I had already experienced success and miracles with Christ in my life. And didn't realize I'm not free indeed. And Luke, I will tell you, as you look around this room and you see heads that look like dandelions that have gone ripe.
Watch it.
Sorry. There's probably some old folk in here. There's some older folk in here that when we were growing up, nobody told us what I just told you.
Amen to that.
It's a sign of glory.
It's a sign of glory. It's a sign of glory. You don't get that in righteousness.
Sir.
The world today looks at this the same exact way.
Hell yeah.
I think we're wandering around because it's foolishness to them. But in fact, it's the exact opposite. They're the one that's aimlessly wandering.
Yeah, because we know the plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly...
So you can be free. Go through those first two steps and not be free indeed. Not be totally free. Just like there are degrees of relationship, just like there are degrees, all right, levels of faith. You go from glory to glory to glory. You can go to different degrees of freedom.
Chuck, as long as we are religious, sitting in church, and not spirit-filled and controlled, you know, the devil doesn't mind if you're just kind of sitting there, but he doesn't want you to get active and committed and busy for the Lord.
Yep.
Lukewarm is okay.
Yep.
No, not for the Lord.
Hold on just a minute. So Lee is trying to get in.
Lee out of New Jersey?
He's not out of New Jersey. Where is Lee out of?
D.C.
D.C.
Oh, Maryland.
Okay. All right. So everybody still with me? Oh, transition. All of them, what they're going to do is part of the plan. Transition is not easy. But are they in better shape in the wilderness than they were 3 days before?
Yes.
Absolutely. Verse 4. Who's got it?
And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase you after. I have planned this in order to display my glory to Pharaoh and his whole army.
Yep. So, verse 4, just some quick notes here. I didn't go through all of this today to highlight it. The enemy is very concerned about where you are after you get set free. All right? He's placing his people in a difficult situation, but the purpose is it's a trap. And again, you've said it before, I can't highlight it even much. He puts them in that place so he can get honor, so the enemy can know that he is God. When he gets through dealing with Pharaoh, when he gets through bringing them and pulling them out, all right, somebody else is going to see it and believe in the living God through their testimony. Because we overcome through the blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony. Remember Rahab. Ooh, come on up here. I'll hide you. We heard about y'all. We heard about how God delivered you through the Red Sea. We heard about your testimony. I got people calling me right now saying, hey, matter of fact, I just was supposed to do something and forgot. We heard about how you came through trouble in your marriage. We heard about how you came through. Can you talk to me? I just got divorced. I'm going through some things in my mind. Did you deal with it? Let's talk for his glory.
Okay. We don't emphasize testimony enough.
It's in Revelation.
Yeah, I know.
In our individual lives. Ah! I'm finding out that just about everything I went through was for a reason. I didn't realize it at the time, but these young people, I guess, maybe when you get old as a dinosaur like I am or whatever, you got more things to worry about than just, you know, trying to escape tar pits.
And you know, Chuck, in the commercial world, personal testimonies are one of the best forms of advertising.
Absolutely.
So if it's saying in
why would it not be? It's biblical. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how people take biblical principles and they apply them in the world and make money.
Right.
We should be rich. Anyway.
We are rich.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Jesus
became
taught.
Yep.
They're stories.
Here's one of the things. Yes. These parables. This is like a parable. This is a parable. Psalm 63, I think it's Psalm 63. Or it might be Psalm 73, I can't remember. Psalm 63 or Psalm 73. It says, let me tell you about a parable from old. And all they do is they talk about how he brought them out. Talk about how he brought them out. All right. Here's the key. He tells them what to do. They obeyed the Lord. And they camped there. The first step in God getting glory out of your situation is to obey. If you don't fill the jars, you get no new wine. No miracle. Obedience is the part that we play in the miracle. Verse 5. Yeah, we ain't gonna make it. I might have to do the Barabbas thing the week of Resurrection Day, because I don't want to do a split between this and this. Well, I'll let you guys decide what you want to do. I'll let you guys. We can always come back to this if we need to. What's verse 5 say?
I got it.
All right.
When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done? Letting all those Israelite slaves go away, they asked. The labor pool was gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? I just verse 5 is powerful. I just highlight the whole thing. My notes. Why have we stopped letting Israel serve us? Economically, not a good thing. We see that throughout history. Why let the slaves go? Economically, devastated. Why have we let them stop? Now, you got to realize who Pharaoh and the Egyptians represent. Not just the world, not just sin, but the devil. Pharaoh represents the enemy. He represents the Antichrist. And the whole idea, wait a minute. Pause. Time out. Why have we let them go? I know we let them go. I know we said, hey, peace. And here's some money to help you along. But won't the world give you money? Don't we pursue money in the world? Don't we know that's just the enemy's way of saying, hey, wait a minute, I really need you to be serving me. So, no matter how many times you spend in church, no matter how many times you get up and you do, just like what Susan Peewitz was just saying, devil ain't got a problem with you going to church. As long as you still serve him. No problem with you getting your praise on Sunday, as long as at least by Tuesday, you back to serving him. Why have we let them go? You got to know the scouting report. The nature of the enemy is I always want God's people to serve me. How you know that, Chuck? Ain't that the same thing he did to Jesus? I want to cast doubt. No, that didn't work. I want to take you to church. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, let me just come to the stage. Just come on. Worship me. If you try to do it to Jesus, don't you know he'll try to do it to us? But it's a great deception. And that's end time prophecy. Yeah. All right. Just because you experienced an earlier victory doesn't mean the enemy is through trying. Wow. Did they have victory in the Passover? The Egyptians still burying their dead? Still trying. All right. Verse 6. What we got? Oh, just read verse 6 and 7, because we can just go through that. Who's got verse 6 and 7 for me?
He had his chariot made ready. He took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt.
Pause! No, keep going. We'll highlight it.
Okay, he took the best, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. That's the end of verse 7.
You know what I find interesting about that verse?
Come on.
That he takes the 600, but then he takes all the rest of the chariots, too, so he's not going to have any resources left.
Yeah. Mm. Now, let's talk about 600. What does 6 represent in the Bible?
Six is
Man, born on the sixth day.
Six.
Antichrist, remember Antichrist? Mm-hmm. Six. What seven represent?
Mm-hmm.
Is six as good as seven?
Mm-hmm.
So six is the number of incompleteness.
Right.
He brought 600. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't bring enough. Oh man, what the heck? I did it too soon.
Mic drop. There you go.
That's the mic dropper right there. No matter what you are going through, no matter what God is allowing you to go through, not enough. Whatever the enemy brings against you, it's not enough to take you out.
Why? And if we as Christians don't stop and realize where it's coming from,
or the purpose,
or how to fight, or the purpose, or how to go through it.
Well, all of that is in this chapter.
We'll immobilize it, or it will take a second.
All of this is in the chapter.
We're
getting there. Yeah, it's all in there. It's all in here. I just love these verses. I mean, you know, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Did it say that there wouldn't be any weapon formed?
No.
Just said, whatever's formed against you ain't going to take you out. That's powerful. See, we get scared at the weapon.
And the latter part of that says that's a promise from the Lord.
No.
The last part of that verse.
Okay. I like Psalm 91:7. 1,000 should fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it's not going to come.
Yeah,
man. It's not going to come any. Yep. Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? I love this. Many are they that rise up against me. That's a song. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. That's the song. I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that set themselves round me, against me round about.
The devil has never figured out that he's a loser and he's never going to win against God.
Well, no, he's like a wild animal trapped in the corner. He's still striking at you. He can still cause some damage, even though he's done. All right.
That's all right.
Oh, Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than conquerors.
And as He led them into this place, He led them, which was they were going to be trapped for a bit. His love did not change. He loved them. He loves us, even when he leads us into places that are hard.
Yep.
He loves us.
Verse 8. Who's got that one?
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness.
Okay, let's stop there. Now, they always bother me because they think God was just a terrible person. Because I thought that, you know, Pharaoh could have repented. Why do you keep hardening his heart? Just leave him alone. He might just act right. He's not hardening his heart.
He's in the glory.
It's already in his heart. he's just allowing him and letting us know this is the nature of Pharaoh. He has a hard heart. He's not hardening it on purpose. He's just letting you know this is how he operates. Okay? The devil is not your friend. And neither is the world. All right. So, they got all that bling bling that they got back in Egypt. got all the goods. They're going out rich. And they're high-fiving. They're going out with a high hand. They're high-fiving, fist-bumping, doing whatever we do today, whatever, having a good time. It's party. Party. But while they're high-fiving, they don't realize. The enemy sees that too. And he's coming after them. All right. Don't get too happy. Because he's coming. But if you know how the story ends, do you really care about them coming? Keep your praise. Protect your praise. I like this. This is coming from one of my old, the guy there, Damien. He had all these little funny things. He's a better preacher than I am, because I'm just a teacher. He's much better. The enemy is not happy when you're happy. The enemy is not happy till you're unhappy. All right. Verse 9. This is the verse that I call my MC Hammer verse. Who's got verse 9?
So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea, besides
Sihon. Yeah, I know. There you go.
Before Baal-Zephon.
Yep. So he overtook them. He caught up to them. But he didn't touch them. Thought he had them. But never touched them. Can't touch this. You can get close, but you can't touch it. All right. All right. That's what I told my daughter when she was growing up, when she started dating. Yeah, I don't know. Can't touch this. Anyway. What you got, Matt?
Pharaoh thought he had them trapped.
Yes, he did.
But he followed it to God's plan.
Yeah, which was a trap for him.
Yeah. That's right.
Absolutely. Now, do you see the implication and the clarification from the Old Testament to see what Jesus did in the New?
Yes.
Because the enemy thought he had them, but it was really a trap.
Amen.
We get control over the enemy. We get victory over the enemy through the death of Christ. I think Carmen had a song out back in the day about the enemy. Yeah, all about scripture. Yeah, and in that song, it's like he was telling a story of how, hey, the devil, like, hey, what's going on down there? I hear some rumbling down there. What's going on? And so when Christ goes into the inner parts of the earth and his death, he comes back out with the keys. Mm-hmm. And he sets the captives free in that compartment that was controlled by the enemy. And that compartment is no longer occupied because things go to heaven. I got a better understanding of why he had to die.
Amen.
Was a trap to set us free and defeat the enemy. And when you understand what's happening in Exodus 12, you have a much greater appreciation in the spirit realm of what Christ did on the cross and in his resurrection.
Amen.
It's more than what's happening in the physical realm that we see. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in the spiritual realm that sets us free that we don't even understand.
Amen.
Can't even know, can't even fathom. That's why I love the Old Testament, because when I see how God does it in the Old Testament, it allows me to have great appreciation for when Christ fulfills it in the New, and it increases my faith. I ain't got no worries. When I try to have words, I gotta just get keep. I know how this ends. All right. Now, ready for verse 10.
And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord.
Yep.
Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever.
All right.
The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
All right.
That's Moses
said,
hey, watch this.
Hey, y'all, watch this. Yeah.
They keep singing the same song. Why would you do it? Why would you do it? They couldn't seem to keep their memory in line.
We do the same thing.
Here's what's coming to my mind about that not looking like the right place and all of that.
Yeah.
So many times we pray and ask God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Yeah. And then when we finally get our answer, we're like, well, that don't make any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you want me to do that? But he sees more than we can see.
Yeah.
From where he's leading us and what it is he wants us to do.
He has a higher vantage point. All right, so that goes back to what Susan was talking about before. What prompted the fear? A couple of things, real quick.
Look
at the problem. It goes back to what Susan Peel was said about Peter walking on the water. Mm-hmm. And doing fine until he started looking. Woo! Boy, that's a big wave over there, boy. Woo! Boy, that wind over there, boy. I'm going to sink.
I just wrote here on my Bible that first 10 is the definition of doubt in God's plan.
I'm looking at the problem rather than the promise.
They not only saw them,
a tornado watch has been issued for your location.
Their enemy behind them. They could see the judge,
and
the enemy, and they could hear the chariot.
They hear that. All five senses and operation. All five. But see, I don't have this in my notes. This is good. All five senses are in operation. In the physical realm. Mm-hmm. But this is a spiritual move.
Absolutely.
Do not make a decision based upon your five senses. Mm-hmm. You got
to
make a decision based upon.
Give them a little bit of slack, though. I mean, they've been in Egypt for 400 years.
But this is a brand new season.
They have not seen God moving.
He's been moving ever since then. He's been moving now. He's getting ready to move even more.
Well, I mean, they got the columns smoking.
They got the Holy Ghost with them.
You go like this. And then you see a column of fire. You go, okay.
And he already tells them, I'm going to get glory out of this. Mm-hmm. Silly Billy.
They don't believe
it. They just don't believe.
Isn't it easy for us to say?
Well, it's very easy for me to say. I'm living up reading the story. I know how it is. All they got to do is keep the mouth shut, keep on moving.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Alright. Sometimes your only option is to follow God.
Oh, now you're just stepped in the prison ministry. Because when I talk to some of the guys, the true ones that really make it or whatever, they're like, you know what? It took this to get me out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And
then
I'll be quiet.
Alright. They saw the problem, but not the promise. They saw the problem, but not the provider. We do the same thing.
You would think that they would learn that God is never going to do things in human ways. Mm-hmm. He is going to do it in the supernatural.
And, amen. Just because it don't work out the way we planned, that don't mean it's not God's plan. What's happening? And I like what Roger said. You know, they just they had the cloud.
And fire.
Even if it was bad, he's still with them.
Yeah. They're looking in the wrong direction.
Whoa! I didn't write that down. Looking in the wrong direction. Yeah.
Behind
them
instead of in front of them. Yeah.
Stop looking back.
Yep. Oh! There you go.
I'm not going back.
That's one of the things you'll hear people yell in wrestling all the time. Don't reach back. Don't reach back for your person
yeah.
that you're wrestling.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, but most times you don't.
Okay. It's a good point. And that's the other reason. It's not just a trap for the enemy. It is to set us free of the past. All right, I got to wrap this up. All right, just some... and you have a tendency to forget. All right, what they saw made them afraid. So fear is contrary to faith.
Is exactly what happened to the disciples when Jesus yep. was crucified.
Yep.
They were panicked.
Yep. Oh, and where did these problems come from? Where did Pharaoh come from?
It comes from doubt.
And it comes from the past that they just left. Mm-hmm. Don't let the problems from the past stop you from going forward. Yes. Reaching back. Fear is the result of focusing on the problem. It can keep you from going forward. It can steal your joy. All right, verse 11, as we get ready to wrap this up. The pursuit of the enemy causes them to turn on Moses. And the lie of the enemy to cause doubt is always this. God has brought you out this far just to kill you out here.
That's crazy.
I know it's crazy. But it works for him. What did he do to Jesus? Hey! If you're really the Son of God and he cares about you, why he got you out here like this? Why don't you go on and take matters into your own hands?
Hey, go further back. If God really saying you can't eat the fruit, or the children, yeah. You won't die. You won't die. You'll become more like him.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that's crazy. They regretted leaving Egypt in bondage. What would we say today if we were in the same position?
Well, there's a saying, Susan, tell them what we tell people that are still in bondage and are want to leave but won't do what they need to do to leave.
The pain to remain is not greater than the pain to change.
That's right.
That's really from AA.
It comes from rehab teaching.
All right.
Celebrate recovery is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'm out of time. And we're not going to finish this, and it gets better.
It gets more better.
More mic drops
on the way. Before I wrap this up, anybody have any thoughts or comments?
I got a question.
Sir.
How many Israelites are we talking about? Over a million?
I don't think it was quite that many. Not sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. How far did they travel? Those first 3 days, how far did they may have traveled each day? The logistics to move that many people.
I don't know. I just know the camping. I don't know. I know there's been some studies out there. I've Googled some stuff up or whatever. I've long forgotten it. Any other thoughts? Does this help you really, as we get ready for Resurrection Week, does this really help us to understand the significance? I know we know the significance of Christ's death and burial, but from a personal perspective, this helps me to understand the significance of what Christ did and what my role is supposed to be in that. And we're going to see that. And it might take, we might be able to finish this. I don't know. This is just powerful. Twofold, when you are going through something, it's not just when you're going through for the Lord. Some people go through because you're trying to fix it. But when you're going through and you're suffering for the Lord, all right, count it all joy, know the end of the story, and know it's not just about you. When he gets glory, and I heard you guys talk about the testimony, the power of the testimony. Well, here you go. There's no testimony without a test. There's no testimony without a test. I don't want anybody to give me any counseling on marriage if they ain't been through. No. I don't want anybody to tell me about resume writing or how to get a job if you're unemployed. I need somebody that's gone through something. So to tell me, show me what the pitfalls are. All right? Amen. All right. Al, you've been good today, so I'm going to let you pray us out.